थैंक यू. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text number 17. Sangama khalu viprashe shiveneha sharirinam durlabo munayo dhadyur असंगाद्यम अभीप्सितम् संगमा खलु विप्रशे शिवेनेह शरीरिनाम् दुर्लभो मुनयो दद्युर् असंगाद्यम अभीप्सितम् संगमः खलु विप्रर्षे शिवेनेह शरीरिनाम् दुर्लभो मुनयो दद्युर् असंगाद्यम अभीप्सितम्. वर्ड फॉर वर्ड प्लीज रिपीट. संगमः एसोसिएशन, खलु certainly, Vipra Rishe, O best of the Brahmanas, Shivena, along with Lord Shiva, Iha, in this world, Shariranam, those who are engaged in material bodies, Durlabha, very rare, Munaya, great sages, Dadyu, engaged themselves in meditation. Asangat, being detached from everything. Yam, unto whom? Abhipshitam, desiring. Translation. The great sage Vidura continued, O best of the Brahmanas, it is very difficult for living entities encaged within this material body to have personal contact with Lord Shiva. Even great sages who have no material attachments do not contact him, despite their always being absorbed in meditation to attain his personal contact. Please repeat after me. The great sage Vidura continued, O best of the Brahmanas,
O best of the Brahmanas,
it is very difficult for living entities
engaged within this material body
to have personal contact with Lord Shiva.
Even great sages
who have no material attachments
do not contact him,
despite their always being absorbed in meditation
to attain his personal contact.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since Lord Shiva does not incarnate himself unless there is some special reason, it is very difficult for an ordinary person to contact him. However, Lord Shiva does descend on a special occasion when he is ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, it is stated in the Padma Purana that Lord Shiva appeared as a Brahmana in the age of Kali to preach the Mayavad philosophy, which is nothing but a type of Buddhist philosophy. It is stated in the Padma Purana, Mayavadam asat chastram prachanam baudham uchyate mayaiva vihitam devi klau brahmana murtina. Lord Shiva, speaking to Parvati Devi, foretold that he would spread the Mayavad philosophy in the guise of a sannyasi Brahmin just to eradicate Buddhist philosophy. This sannyasi was Sripad Shankaracharya. In order to overcome the effects of Buddhist philosophy and spread Vedanta philosophy, Sripad Shankaracharya had to make some compromise with the Buddhist philosophy. And as such, he preached the philosophy of monism, for it was required at that time. Otherwise, there was no need for his preaching Mayavad philosophy. At the present moment, there is no need for Mayavad philosophy or Buddhist philosophy, and Lord Chaitanya rejected both of them. This Krishna consciousness movement is spreading the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya and rejecting the philosophy of both classes of Mayavadi. Strictly speaking, both Buddhist philosophy and Shankara's philosophy are but different types of Mayavad dealing on the platform of material existence. Neither of these philosophies has spiritual significance. There is spiritual significance only after one accepts the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, which culminates in surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, people worship Lord Shiva for some material benefit, and although they cannot see him personally, they derive great material profit by worshipping him. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmaldam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So such is the plan of Supreme Lord Shri Krishna to gradually restore Vedic culture and to bring people to the point of Achinta Bheda Abheda Tattva philosophy. So such was the plan of the Lord. It is foretold in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, third chapter, text number 24, where the different avatars of the Supreme Lord are predicted. There it is said, Tatha kalau sam pravritte samohaya sura dvisham buddho nama jnana sutaha kikateshu bhavishyati. So there it is said, then in the beginning of Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear as Lord Buddha, the son of Anjana in the province of Gaya, just for the purpose of deluding those who are envious of the faithful theist. So the appearance of Lord Buddha was predicted approximately 5,000 years ago, around that time, the appearance of Lord Buddha was predicted that he would appear some 2,500 years later. So the Srimad Bhagavatam has a lot of prophecies which are coming true. And the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of prophecies of the age of Kali. And we can see that those prophecies are taking place right in front of our eyes. And it is said, a time will come when the citizens will be so heavily taxed that they will run in the forests. They will be, hiding in the forest. So we can see that Srimad Bhagavatam makes so many prophecies. And one of the prophecies was, a time will come, that when the Vedic text would be so much misinterpreted by the caste Brahmanas that they would totally lose the purpose of the Vedic text, right? So as we know, the caste Brahmanas, when the Shastras are studied without approaching a guru or without the disciplic succession, then it is very easy to misinterpret them. Or shall we say, they will be misinterpreted. When the Shastras are read without the assistance of a guru or without the guidance of the guru or the disciplic succession, or the guru coming in the disciplic succession, then the shastras are misinterpreted. So around 2500 years ago, though Krishna, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and he made the teachings very clear in the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita culminates in Sarva Dharman Parityajya. You know, surrender unto me. Krishna says, surrender unto me. And the teachings were made crystal clear. But somehow, by the influence of time, time degrades everything. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, time, I am the great destroyer of everything. So with the effects of time, the teachings were somehow misinterpreted and or lost or covered. So there was a section of some brahmanas. As we know, the brahmanas in India, you can go so many temples. They've made the whole temple as a business, right? You can go to temples and the pandas will come and then approach you for money. Right, so they'll approach for money and say, okay, they just see people as walking wallets or, you know, dollar signs or rupee signs. So someone's coming, all they're seeing is these people are coming, we can get some money out of them, the deity is there, and just making a business out of it. But there's no, they're not imparting any spiritual knowledge. And the temples are places of culture and education, spiritual education. So temples play a very important role in society. So we even see in Australia, every corner there used to be a church. Or they still are, but they're just empty at the moment. Or they're being converted into other uses. Like some pubs, like there's one church, well, it used to be a church in Chapel Street, or Toorak Road near Chapel Street. That's a pub now. So we can see that these places were there, the churches or the temples were there to, as a place of culture, but also to impart God consciousness or knowledge of God. So the brahmanas had made this a whole business, and because they were approaching the shastras without coming in the disciplic succession, they were misinterpreting the text, and they concluded that they were attracted by the flowery words of the Vedas, right? So Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in text 42-43, Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avi paschitaha veda vada ratha partha nanyad astiti vadina kamat mana svarga para janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishvarya gatim prati. And he says, men of small knowledge are attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, result in good birth, power, so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say there is nothing more than this. So, because they are approaching the shastras while not coming in the disciplic succession, then people are attracted to the enticements of the Vedas or the flowery words, right? And that's basically karma kanda. So they went to such a degree that to justify their desires for sense gratification and to justify their propensity for meat eating, they said that the shastras, the Vedic shastras, they recommend animal sacrifice, and therefore we will conduct animal sacrifice in the age of Kali, though this was an outdated practice, right? So as we know, animal sacrifice was there in what's that sacrifice called in which horses are offered? Ashwamedha Yagya, thank you. So in Ashwamedha Yagya, right, there's the horses are offered in the sacrifice. And the whole idea behind that was, if an animal was offered in sacrifice, that was to test the power of the brahmanas, it was to test the power of the mantras, and the animal which was offered in sacrifice, either they would get an older animal was offered first of all, and then they would get a younger body, or they would ascend to heavenly planets, or they would become a human, right? So something like that would happen. So what the Brahmanas were saying, okay, to justify their propensity for meat eating, they were referring to these sacrifices, though they were for a previous age, and saying, okay, we'll do it in this age. So practically, every yagya kund became a slaughterhouse. That's what happened. Can you imagine, you know, yagya is going on, and then they're killing an animal is being killed, but it's not getting a new life or a new body or a younger body. It's just blood everywhere, and it's a very ghastly scene. It's horrible. So that's what was going on. So Lord Krishna, in order to rectify the situation and to bring people gradually back to the Vedic conclusion, he devised a strategy. So the Supreme Lord, he devised a strategy, and he decided to appear as Lord Buddha. So Lord Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna. That's why Lord Buddha is mentioned in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, why would Lord Buddha be mentioned? So Lord Buddha is an avatar. And so the strategy was, so you have to understand the context, why such an extreme strategy was adopted, right? So the context was, people were saying, the Vedas say this, therefore we're going to do it. So the only way to change their mind was to reject the Vedas. This is very controversial, right? And very radical preaching strategy. But you can see even the Lord, there are a few points here. First of all, the living entities have free will. Even Krishna cannot change the Jiva's free will, right? It is not possible for the Supreme Lord to change the free will of the Jivas. And so he has to preach according to their mindset. And at that time, in the whole of society, this mindset was there, right? When people at large are thinking in such a way, to change consciousness at large is not easy, right? It happens slowly. So the Supreme Lord decided that, okay, I'll appear as Lord Buddha and I will reject the Vedas, right? So, and then in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as I read that verse, in the first canto, third chapter, verse 24, the prediction is there, where it is said, I will take birth in Gaya. So of course we know Lord Buddha appeared in Nepal. He actually took birth in Nepal, but he became Buddha in Gaya. So you can say his spiritual birth was in Gaya. His mother, who gave birth to him, she died shortly after giving birth. And he was raised by his, I think, grandmother, Anjana. Therefore it is said, for all practical purposes, his mother was Anjana. So we can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned about Lord Buddha's appearance and activities. So as I was saying, at that time, meat eating was rampant in the name of Vedas. So Lord Buddha said, okay, I totally reject the Vedas, and I'm going to teach you basically a path of non-violence and morality to bring people at the human platform. And in order to do that, he had to reject the Vedic teachings and the Vedas. So he more or less preached atheism in like a covered form. But because Lord Buddha is an avatar of Krishna, and by people following him, they make spiritual advancement, right? So though they are, this is a trick. So though they felt, okay, we have, you know, rejected the Vedas, but because they're following Buddha, who is an avatar of Krishna, they're making advancement. So that was the plan. So Lord Buddha, he taught four noble truths. right? Buddhism is about four noble truths. So number one, suffering is universal, right? Buddha's taught suffering is universal. We can see that. Birth, death, old age, disease, suffering is everywhere. It's universal. Then he's taught the second truth. Suffering is caused by desire. So material desires lead to suffering. That's what he taught. And then he taught that suffering can be overcome, the third truth. And the fourth, that the principles of Buddhism, they teach how to overcome that suffering. So these were the four noble truths. And then there was the Eightfold Path, which is basically, the Eightfold Path describes those principles. So what are those principles? Number one, the right conduct, right motive, right speech, right livelihood, right attention, right effort, right meditation, and right resolve. So he taught these eight principles, which are basically, you know, principles of ethics, morality, to bring people. And he was more or less setting the foundation. So when a building is constructed, first of all, the foundation is done, right? Without a strong foundation, the entire structure will collapse. And the deeper the foundation, the more stable the structure will be, right? Yes, we'll come to that, yeah. So, and then he more or less rejected the teachings of the Vedas. And he preached that Shunyavad, right? That the whole idea is you become nothing. He said there's suffering, and you overcome suffering, and then you become nothing. So this appealed to people a lot, because people at that time, you have to understand the context, people at that time were very atheistic, right? It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said, he appeared for the purpose of deluding those who are envious of the faithful theists. So at that time, and in that context, people were atheistic, by and large. So he had to adopt such a means. And then, after a long time, then Shankaracharya appeared. So Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva was told by the Supreme Lord to appear to preach Mayavad philosophy. So this is you have to look at the grand plan of the Lord. So you cannot change people's mindset like this. It doesn't happen. It takes time. It takes time to change the direction of the... If you're going in a big ship is not so agile like a jet ski, right? Jet ski, you can just turn the handle and you can, you know, it will just change direction by 90 degrees or whatever. You can see on the beach. If you're walking along the beach, it's a nice, beautiful day. People are going in the jet skis, and they can just change direction. And then you see these big cruise ships or cargo ships. They just can't, you know, even they just can't move the rudder, and then the ship will change direction. It just doesn't happen like that. They have to gradually steer the boat. So in the same way, to change people's mindset and consciousness, it takes many, many years, sometimes takes hundreds of years. So then after a long time, the Supreme Lord told Lord Shiva, you appear as Shankaracharya to introduce Mayavad philosophy. So the whole idea behind that was to again, at least to get people to accept the Vedas. So that was Shankaracharya's objective, or Lord Shiva's objective was to again establish the Vedas. So Lord Buddha, he had rejected the Vedas. So the phase two of the project was to Phase one was, okay, reject. Phase two, we're going to accept the Vedas in society. That was phase two. It was a very planned approach, right? It was a rollout. So that was phase two. And here, as it is, Srila Prabhupada, he quotes the Padma Purana. Mayavadam asat shastram prachannam baudam uchyate mayaiva vihitam devi kalau brahmana murtina. So that's Lord Shiva speaking to Parvati. He's saying, in this age of Kali, I shall descend in the form of a brahmana. So Shankaracharya, he appeared as a Brahman sannyasi, to spread this Mayavad philosophy, which is actually covered Buddhism. Right? And then this is from Padma Purana, where the Supreme Lord is telling Lord Shiva, Svagamai kalpitastvam cha janan mad vimukham kuru mam cha gopaya yena syat shristir esotarottara. So here it is said, make the Supreme Lord telling Lord Shiva, make the general public averse to me by some imaginary hypothesis from you. Also camouflage me so that the public will be deluded gradually by desire for material advancement. And then in another verse, in Varaha Purana, it is said, O mighty armed Shiva, please write books filled with lies and thus bewilder the people. And then another one. O mighty armed one, please preach a collection of lies. Place yourself in the forefront and conceal me. So you can see the Supreme Lord is telling Lord Shiva to carry out this service. So Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna. And being instructed to carry out this difficult service, he has to conceal his own master, right? So he's been given a service and instruction to conceal his own master and to spread lies about his own master. But if you look in the greater context, it all makes sense. So Lord Shiva knew the greater context is to eventually bring back, as we know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he preached Chintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So in the greater scheme of things, it made sense, and Lord Shiva, he carried out the service. And he appeared as Shankaracharya, and then he, as in the Sharirika Bhashya, right, his teachings, he preached Mayavad philosophy. So Mayavad philosophy and Buddhism are very identical, because it's mentioned here that it is basically covered Buddhism. So whereas Lord Buddha says, you know, shunya tattva, which means non-existent in all three phases of time, which is past, present, future. Shankaracharya says mithya, or in other words, non-existence. Brahma, satyam, jagan, mithya. Right? Everything is false. So everything is devoid of past, present, and future. So it's essentially they're saying the same things in a different way. And So Shankaracharya, he told them, okay, everything is Brahman, right? So you accept Brahman, whereas they're saying everything is void. And he's saying, no, actually everything is Brahman. And Brahman is mentioned in the Vedas, therefore you have to accept the Vedas. And at that time they could accept this much. That's all they could accept, because this sounded in line with what their philosophy is. If you preach something very radical, it's very difficult for people to accept. So he had to preach what Buddhism is saying, but the conclusion is, it's said in the Vedas, and therefore you have to accept the Vedas as authority. That was the idea. So like Buddhism says that the way to achieve nirvana is through knowledge of reality, and then, you know, and the world is full of suffering, and Shankaracharya says, Tattva Gyan, you gain true knowledge of reality. So they both are saying the same thing, or to attain moksha. And both Buddhism and Mayavad, they say that that Brahman has no attributes. They both more or less say the same thing. So Shankaracharya is saying the same thing, but through the Vedas, right? So in this way, you can see that they are preaching the same thing. So Nirvishesha, you know, Nirvishesh is saying it's all, Lord Buddha is saying it's void, and he's saying everything is Brahman. Therefore, you say Brahman, and that's through the Vedas. And then later, after Shankaracharya, who came? Exactly, Ramanujacharya came. And Ramanujacharya, he preached Vishishta Advaita Vad, right? So where then Ramanujacharya says, yes, we all are God, but we are different too, right? And then people could relate to, okay, the Shankarites could relate to, we all are God, because that's what they're saying, right? So we all are God, but they didn't focus so much on, but we are different. But Ramanuja said, we all are God, but we are different. He didn't emphasize so much on that. And after that, 100 years later or so, who came? Madhvacharya. And Madhvacharya, he preached dualism, that there is God and there is the Jiva. And he firmly established the fact, there is God, but there is Jiva. But we are separate. You know, we cannot be the same. So you can see the grand plan of the Supreme Lord, how it is gradually unfolding, you know, step by step. So phase three was Ramanujacharya, he came and he emphasized, because people could accept that much. They could relate to that, we all are God, because that's what they're saying, you know, Mayavad philosophy is. And Krishna says in the 9th chapter, 11th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, does anyone remember the Avajananti Mamura Manushintanum Ashritam Param Bhavam Ajananto Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram? Krishna says, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. Right? Krishna says, fools deride me when I descend in the human form because they do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be, due to a poor fund of knowledge. So Krishna says that because of a poor fund of knowledge, they do not know my transcendental nature. So the Mayavadis, they take Krishna to be an ordinary person. Though Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita so many places, and he's demonstrating by his pastimes, right? Krishna, when he demonstrates through his pastimes, he appeared as a four-handed, he appeared in his original form as the Supreme Lord, and also first of all he appeared as Vasudev, right, as his four-armed form of Vishnu, and then he changed into Shyam Sundar Krishna, and he carried out so many activities, pastimes, which no ordinary man can perform those activities. He lifted the Govardhan hill, killed so many great demons, spoke the Bhagavad Gita, right? So he showed his Virat Rupa, and an ordinary man cannot perform these activities. But because foolish people, due to a depth of knowledge, because of a lack of knowledge, they think that Krishna is an ordinary person, is an historical personality at best, right? He appeared 5,000 years ago. But he's just an ordinary person. But behind that is the energy, and it's all we all are one, right? So then Ramanujacharya, he came and he preached Vishishta Dvaita Tattva. We all are God, but we are different. Then Madhvacharya came. There is God and there is the Jiva. And then Lord Chaitanya came. Of course, other Acharyas also came, but these are the most prominent ones. And Lord Chaitanya came and he preached Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference. So then Lord Chaitanya preached, yes, we are one in quality with God, right? But not in quantity. So then the famous example Srila Prabhupada gives, there is the ocean, but the drop of the ocean has the same qualities as the ocean, but it is not the ocean, right? So simultaneous oneness and difference. This was preached by Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, he harmonized the teachings of all the acharyas. So then you can see the grand plan of the Lord unfold over thousands and thousands of years. And 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya came and he preached this philosophy. And then various other acharyas, the six Goswamis, they did their part. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then Srila Prabhupada. To us, it maybe just sounds all very simple. That's because all this work has been done, you know. And then Prabhupada, he has translated these books. Prabhupada has made it easy for us. But you need to understand the context. In that time, it was very difficult for people to very easily accept what we accept very easily today. Because that was how things were. But Srila Prabhupada, he has made it very, very easy for us. And in every purport, Srila Prabhupada, he explains in this way, right? He makes it very easy to understand. And that is Prabhupada's great contribution and his expertise to expertise of a person is to explain a very complex subject matter in a very easy to understand way, right? So someone who's very expert, they can take something very difficult and explain it in a way that a layman can understand, right? That's the expertise of a preacher or in any subject matter, right? Sometimes people talk and even something seemingly simple, they make it more complex. But Prabhupada made a very complex subject matter very easy to understand. And then through the practice of devotional service and chanting Hare Krishna, it becomes easier, right? So, in fact, we can understand these teachings by applying them and in the association of devotees. As I was saying in the beginning of the talk, and that's what a temple is. A temple is a place of education and a place of culture. So temples, as here we have so many courses are going on, systematic reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis, and then Shastra courses going on. So these temples, they propagate this culture and knowledge. And then outreach also goes on for the wider audience in the form of kirtan, you know, sankirtan, and distribution of literature, and also through various outreach programs in the form of lectures. And so the same knowledge is explained in a way, into different audiences, in a way they can digest. Maybe to not that level of depth, but it is being presented. So we'll end here, see if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
And distribution of prasadam.
And distribution of prasadam. Thank you. One of the most important pillars of preaching. It is the glue. Where would this place be without prasadam? She asked first, yeah.
Do we have any information about the other sub-?
Yeah, it's all there. I'll have to refresh my memory, but it's there. We can. A lot of devotees have written books on different sampradayas and their philosophies. Yeah, it's there. Thank you. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Have you read it? I read it a while ago, so I need to read it again too. But if you don't have much time, you can read teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That's the summary of that. And then someone had a question here. Yeah.
During the acceptance
yes.
And the rejection of Veda.
Yes.
What was included in the Veda? Just the four Vedas?
So the Vedas are a very vast body of knowledge. So there's the four Vedas, there's the Upanishads, there's the Aranyakas, and so there's Shruti and Smriti, right?
Puranas
are not part of the four Vedas, but like they are the Smriti, right? So Smriti or Shruti? Smriti, yeah. So there are 18 Puranas, right? 6 in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. So they're not like part of the four Vedas, but they are part of the Smriti. And the Puranas are there. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amalam Puranam, is the main Purana. So the Puranas, they explain the Vedic knowledge through pastimes of the Lord. So there's the Vedanta Sutra, right, by Vyasadeva. The Vedanta Sutra, it's not so easy to understand. And then the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas and the Puranas.
So even after understanding, like you quoted from Varaha Purana and Padma Purana, that how Shiva was asked to
yes.
save lives.
Yes.
Since Puranas existed since the beginning of time, did the other people also read it, and why was it easy for them to accept Mayavada?
Puranas not there from beginning of time, but Puranas, I don't know the historical when they appeared. So what's the question?
Like you were explaining.
So were people reading it?
Yeah, even after, like if I hear
yeah.
Shiva was asked to spread lights.
Yes.
Accepting Shankaracharya's philosophy would be not
really. Yes.
So
question is? Yeah, people were reading Puranas. The Puranas were there.